Midway USA brand product designers have one straightforward goal: develop high-quality, technically sound products and deliver them to customers at reasonable prices. If you are immersed in the shooting sports industry and pay close attention to every single detail, you know our products are built right and stand up to everyday use. Who has shooting mats and range bag systems to hunting clothing and just about everything for the outdoors? Log on and shop 24/7 with super fast shipping. MidwayUSA.com. At Midway USA, we know the AR-15 is one of the most popular rifles in modern American history. Known for its modularity and widespread use, it's often considered essential to any gun collection. The essential things you need to run an AR-15 are usually always in stock during shortages, things like magazines and 5.56 ammo. Whether you're looking to buy a new AR-15 or buy parts for your modern sporting rifle, log on and for just about everything for the outdoors, shop MidwayUSA.com.
Damn these Biloxi blues, it happens every night. And I ain't never met a riverboat dealer that could ever be a friend of mine.
I have not.
The summer heat never treats me kind, it leaves trouble on my mind. So I'm bidding farewell, putting in my notice, and I'll see you at another time.
Sing.
This highway does not know my name, and I don't care.
No, I don't care.
Heading my way for another place, and I got three good tires and a spare. Just a white line gypsy getting out of Mississippi with just enough gas to get there.
Low budget live, not so live. From the Low Budget Live Bar and Grill, back in the good old Volunteer State. Whew, been a crazy week, y'all. And I came home and got here to the bar and grill, and got a new toy. It's over here. I got a new mixer, and it does all kind of crazy stuff. And that's all I got to say about it. Nobody ever wanted me to have cheesy radio sound effects. Huh? Lowlifers. Huh? Nobody ever needed me to have that in life. Nobody. It was not needed or wanted. Updating some equipment for the Bass Master Classic. This is the podcast for February 28th, the last day of this freaking month of February. We got to get into March. That's when the goods start happening. That's when the fish start really getting after it in my neck of the woods. And hopefully the weather gets better, man. We've had some crazy weather, but more importantly, the first week of March is the Bass Master Classic. So we're headed into that this week. And I've had lots of you reach out. I've talked about it on here a good bit, but I wanted to open the show. And a lot of people, where are you doing an LBL? Are you doing an LBL? Are you doing an LBL? Is there going to be a show, a concert, a live? There will be a live, but it will be at the Express Boats booth at the Expo, 1 p.m. on Saturday. 1 p.m. on Saturday, Express Boats booth. Lots of guests, lots of things going on there. They're unveiling a new little prototype action boat. We're going to get the first look at it, so you're going to want to come by and see that. But lots of things going on there. If you're there and you want to support LBL, be sure to come out 1 p.m. there at the Expo there in Greenville. Not going to do anything Saturday night this year for a lot of different reasons, but the main ones being we like to throw down. We like to, and by we, I mean me and my band, and I like to do the live podcast and then play music. That's kind of been our thing the last couple of years, but unfortunately, none of my guys could come and play this year, and even my good old buddy, Dude Let's Fish, Shannon Wheeler, he couldn't make it out, so logistically, it was hard to put it together. I'm not going to sit up there and just play by myself. but because it just, I don't know. Something about that, I just don't want to do it. It's not as much fun for me. So I'm going to do a podcast, and I'm thinking about doing a, just like a hang. Like if you're there and you're a low lifer, I know a lot of you guys, I've met you over the last couple of years. I'm going to watch social media, watch Instagram. I'm going to let you know where I'm going to be. Saturday night, I think we may just go take over a bar. I talked to a couple different venues out there. That was another thing. I had some issues getting one booked this year, and it was funny. Fort Worth, Texas, no, not a problem. First venue I talked to, and the lowlifers showed up, and we sold them out of alcohol and put butts in seats, and they enjoyed that. Same thing in Birmingham 2 years ago. But Greenville, nah, the lowlifers are not as welcome there for a live podcast / musical extravaganza. So sticking with the Express booth for the big show, and then Saturday night, just keep your eye on my Instagram, Facebook. I'm going to make a post. We're going to get together, man. We'll hang, have a drink together, and catch up somewhere there in Greenville. I haven't decided yet, but just that's a PSA to start the show. Welcome, you bunch of lowlifers. I appreciate each and every one of you. Got to say a quick thanks to these fine sponsors that make it all happen. Like right here, look at this new lid, StarTron. StarTron, kicking ethanol in the teeth, bringing you low budget live for like 5 years now. Huge, huge supporter of the show, and cannot thank them enough. They support this industry. They support a lot of professional anglers, sponsor tournament trails, a lot of TV shows, but they have definitely, they put their money where their mouth is in the fishing industry. So be sure to support these guys and get rid of ethanol in your weed eater, in your chainsaw, but more importantly, get it out away from your outboard engine. Nothing ruins a great day on the water like an outboard engine that won't run. Little dab will do you. Put it in your tank. Shake up the bottle. That's just my preference. Kick ethanol in the teeth with StarTron. We appreciate StarTron. New to the show this year. I see y'all using this code. It's much appreciated for a lot of different reasons, man. It's cool to see the lowlifers out there using this code with baitworks.com. Use code Duncan-10 at bait-works.com. A lot of dashes in there. You can get what you need on baitworks.com. If they ain't got it, I promise you they got it ordered and they got it on the way. You can get Taylor Watkins winning spinnerbait on there. That old Jason Christie covert getting some more cash, you know, some more winnings around it, of course, because it's that is a freakishly good spinnerbait, especially in cold, dirty water. But you can find those on there. Use code Duncan-10 to show your support for Low Budget Live. Last but not least, can't say enough about these folks right here behind me. Express Boats, the X21 with the 250 Yamaha show. Got that sea deck floor, got those power poles on that bad boy and the Garmin's. Love the X21, absolute perfect blend of performance and stability, and I can go shallow. It's aluminum, so I don't have to worry about tearing things up like I tend to do, but I don't sacrifice anything out in rough water either. It's a fantastic boat. It's a perfect boat for me, and look forward to seeing this new little sneaky that they're going to have at the Bassmaster Classic. Like I said, obviously they support this show. They're letting us do one of these crazy podcasts in their booth. Oh, wait, I didn't do it right. Oh, what's that? Let's hear it for Express. Yeah, let's hear it. Let's hear it for Express one more time. Oh, yeah, yeah. Thank you. Thank you, guys. Thank you, guys. Express Boats, building excitement since 1966. Whew. Got it in there. Got it all in there. So, man, I don't even know where to start. I'm going to get a drink of this cherry drink real quick. And then we'll do the dang thing. So, got a good guest today. Got a good guest today that I'm excited about. A returning guest, which is always good news. Always good news. I mean, there's something going on in this man's life. So, insane week last week for me. I feel like I say that a lot, but my life, I think that sometimes I look and I don't realize what all I've got going on until I'm a procrastinator. I'm terrible at procrastinating. And I look and then it's like, it's here. And then all of a sudden it's like, boom, 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 boom. There's just stuff going on. And it certainly caught up with me last week a little bit. Had a TH Marine meeting down in Huntsville, Alabama, a couple days, and it kind of delayed my travel up to Wisconsin to be in studio for MPFL. I ended up canceling my flight and just deciding to make the 12-hour drive up there instead of risking it on an airline because all the weather's so crazy right now. Wanted to make sure that I didn't do anything to delay production and stress anybody out, including myself. So left like Wednesday night, driving to Appleton, Wisconsin, and man, hit black ice, almost had a wreck, crazy, crazy weather, ran into some snow, ended up stopping up in Indiana, getting a room, finishing out the drive on Thursday. Of course, Friday, supposed to be the first day of that MPFL event there at Lake Cumberland, and wake up Thursday morning driving up, and all of a sudden, you know, we get a call that they've canceled day one, which is not unusual, you know, not something that you certainly, you know, this time of year, especially on a lake that's volatile like Cumberland, wasn't a surprise. They had terrible flooding and a lot of debris in the lake. Been hearing that all through practice, and Cumberland's notorious for that. But the day of the tournament, it was like 34, 2 inches to 3 inches of rain forecast, no visibility, fog. It was crazy. And so they called it the morning of, and then they went ahead based on the forecast and decided to cancel day two as well. When I first got the news, I was upset. There were a lot of people that were upset. They decided they were going to have a one-day event. And then they kicked around the idea again of having a two-day event, bumping it, you know, to a Saturday-Sunday event when the weather got better. And now this lake, to put it in perspective, and I said this on Instagram, I've said it, but I want to say it again. I have seen water heaters floating down this lake. I have seen washers and dryers. I have seen plywood. I have seen dead cows. It makes no sense what comes out of the hills and hollers around Cumberland when it floods. The lake came up some 12 feet from when the guys started practice till they actually got to compete on Saturday. But lots of things thrown out there. And I voiced my opinion, you know, with the way the year ended last year, it was a lot of craziness, you know, and I just didn't want anything odd, and I just wanted it to be good. We almost right out of full field, just a couple guys shy there, more anglers than we had last year, and we have a really, really solid field this year, you know, with guys like that, returning guys, new guys that I don't know as well yet, and then, you know, you throw in a Patrick Walters, Brad Knight, Jason Williamson, Quentin Capos. Like, we've got some really, really heavy hitters in there, no pun intended. And the thing is, it's frustrating, man. You want to, and we're all geeked up, and we're raring to go, and the anglers are raring to go, and me and Fat Cat and Watson are raring to go, and then just Mother Nature just rips the rug out from under you. So Brad Fuller and I and Mr. Sean Mullall, the tournament director, we all had conversations. I'm just a commentator, but I'm always going to lean that angler way, and we all piss and moan way too much, I've decided. Working with an organization, you realize how much we whine as anglers. But, you know, I voiced my opinion, a one-day thing. I don't know. It's just a one-day shootout. But then, and we kind of went back and forth that, and they're like, well, hey, man, we're weighing every option. But something that was a big deal to them, and it, you know, and it's a big deal to me, that's what this league's been built around, is we do have a lot of guys, and this is all of professional bass fishing. Anybody that feeds you that every single guy you see on TV or every single guy you see competing in a pro bass fishing event solely makes their money with a rod and reel, it's just a pipe dream. That doesn't happen. A lot of guys have other things going on, and maybe it's outside of the season. Maybe it's they don't do anything while the seasons are going on, but a lot of them do, and our league is no different, and we are actually built better for a guy that wants to have a normal 9-to-5 but also fish for big money in a professionally ran event. So a lot of our anglers stay until Sunday and Monday. Really, that didn't make sense for a lot of the field. It just didn't. And so they asked a lot of the anglers, and they kind of put it out there to a vote, talk about it. And so the decision is made to have a one-day event. I had a lot of concerns early on about it from a coverage standpoint, like, how are we going to cover this one-day shootout? And I was super frustrated, just full disclosure. And if Brad Fuller was sitting right here, he'd tell you, he's like, yeah, damn right he was frustrated. He let me know he was frustrated. And y'all know me, I'm going to try to be as open and honest as I can be about anything going on. And I was disgruntled that morning, and he and I had a conversation about it. But as I drove to Wisconsin, thought more and more and more, I was like, how cool is it to have, and of course this is the commentator, you know, not actually competing in the event, but how cool is it to have a one-day shootout for $50,000? And man, I'm thinking, you've got the best chance to win that. Everybody does, right? When you launch your boat, there's crazy conditions, and it's just it's a really exciting thing. The more I thought about it, and actually I called Brad back and we talked, and I was like, hey, dude, I'm wrong on this. Like, I really think this is cool, and I think this is going to be something that's going to be fun for people to keep up with and watch. And look, if it's a shit show, it is a shit show, right? Hang on a second. But Brad Knight put it best, BK, and you know Brad's going to shoot you straight. BK said, this is like fast forwarding to that final lap at Talladega. And man, it was. It was hard to cover with five cameras out there, six cameras on the water, trying to keep up with it. And unfortunately, we missed out on Taylor Watkins' absolute Cumberland mega bag. I have fished up there multiple times. You don't see a lot of 20-pound stringers on that lake, in my opinion, let alone 23 in 40-degree water that's rolling mud after the lakes came up, you know, 12 feet. So we knew it was possible to catch a big bag, maybe not that big, but if those largemouth got into a run-in situation, that could happen. Of course, the smallmouth, when FLW was there, we got the variance, a permit to weigh in 15 inches, I believe. But the minimum length limit there is 18. The lake is so freaking healthy, man. We watch guys throw back 3-pound fish, 17 and 3/4, 17 and 15, 16. Like, it makes you sick to your stomach. I've been there, done that there, and lots of fish caught, even in the crazy conditions. But we did our best to cover it. Had an absolute ball in studio with Fat Cat Newton. And talking to Brad Knight last night, he said, man, these guys really do. This is his first event. He's like, these guys got something. He's like, it was a crazy week, but he's like, man, this is special. He's like, the anglers, the bond. And it's the same thing I felt leaving Eufaula last year. So I'm glad to get back, get an event, even though it was crazy, man. And of course, like, we've had adversity from the jump with MPFL, right? Whether that's lack of industry support or, just complete buffoons hating on it all the time because they just like to see things fail, whatever the case is. And then, you know, the year to end, unfortunately, like it did last year with canceling the championship. We're used to adversity, right? We are, but I thought the live coverage looked and sounded as good as it's ever sounded. Shout out to our production team. It was awesome. It's a pleasure working with the team that we get to work with in studio. Our cameramen are awesome. And it's going to be a fun year, man. I'm really looking forward to Hartwell. That's our second event that'll be there like third week of April. Really going to be interesting to see. A storyline that popped up at this event, freaking Patrick Walters joins our field. He's up there practicing. Did not realize from what he said that the Bassmaster Classic, let me say this again, the Bassmaster Classic practice was starting on Friday. Bassmaster Classic. So he was going to fish Thursday, see what he could catch. But fishing was so tough, he thought, man, if I catch 12, 13 pounds, I might get a check for this thing. And so we cancel, so he goes to Hartwell. My man thought about coming back and fishing Saturday and skipping classic practice. I mean, just for that one-day shot at 50 Gs, like that's cool. He ended up staying in Greenville. I think Justin Kimmel and Trent Palmer maybe talked him out of it. They're like, dude, it's a classic. Come on. But he will join us for the rest of the events this year. Look forward to covering him and seeing on a lake like Hartwell especially, which he's going to be one of the favorites to win the classic there. Him, Brandon Cobb, so many guys. Jason Christie is going to be a favorite again this year, I'm sure. There'll be a lot of talk on Mr. Christie. But be cool covering Walters there in April. I think he'll give them heck. Justin Kimmel's going to give them heck there. But man, if you haven't tuned in, give us a shot. I know I say it. I'm proud of the people I work with. I'm proud to call them friends and family now at this point. And, you know, I'm proud of the product they're putting out there. They're not afraid to take chances. They did a three different launch sites option on Saturday, so the guys didn't have to make an hour-long run through debris. Three different blast-offs, logistically pulled it off. It was incredible, incredible. Staggered the flight times where if you were due in at 5, you didn't get to blast off till like 9 o'clock. So everybody got equal fishing time. And it really, I mean, it was cool. So because they couldn't flip those flights. They really handled it, you know, got the tournament in. I think that it couldn't have gone any better than it did after all the insanity. And we move on. We move on to Lake Hartwell. One tournament down. And got to say a huge congrats, man. Taylor Watkins. Taylor is... he's on a freaking roll, man. He dropped one of the biggest bags I've ever heard of on Cumberland, honestly. Like, looking historical tournament weights. I mean, maybe some Alabama rig stuff, but pretty damn impressive what he did up there. And he wins. He goes back-to-back. Two of those shields. Got to say, got to cover a young man that I've had the pleasure of knowing for a couple of years now, Chris Keeble. 19 years old. We had him on camera on Saturday. You're going to want to look that young man up. Got a bright future ahead of him, a good foundation, good support system, and he's a veteran beyond his years, and he was able to cut a check up there on Saturday in the shootout, and look forward to covering him the rest of the year. I think he's fishing all 9 Bassmaster Opens as well, so going to want to keep up with that young man on his journey. Got to cover him. Got to cover my buddy Brad Knight. Like, how cool is it to get to call a tournament? He had a rough day. Not going to sugarcoat it. Had a rough day, but to get, you know, one of my best friends – out there, it was really cool. Really, really cool day. Having Watson out on the water was awesome. You know, he and I and Fat Cat are really good friends outside of fishing, really. You know, we've known each other for quite a few years now, and it's fun to get to work with all those guys, to say the least. But Sheldon Collings killed it on camera for us. Jeff Dobson had a great tournament down there. I think finished in... third place there. Todd Goad had a great tournament there. And several guys had a good event. And look, it was about survival, basically, more than anything. Like, and that's what my buddy Michael Brewer, my buddy Chad Aaron here from my hometown, they both got checks. And I'm like, look, dude, it is all about getting paid. And it doesn't matter what weight it takes to get paid. That is a comparison to the rest of the field. It's all relative, right? Like, if 7 pounds gets paid, it gets paid. If 6 pounds gets paid, if 4 pounds gets paid, guess what? Joke's on the other guys for not catching that. Josh McDermott finishing in second place on a tough day. But a lot of guys zero. We had like 50 zeros. But overall, a really cool event. Pressure cooker event, honestly. But a lot of fantastic anglers failed to catch a bass up there. A keeper bass. They were probably chunking those 3-pound smallmouth back, which is another story for another day. We might talk to our guest about it right now. We're going to get him on the phone. Let's see. Be sure to comment if you watch the MPFL. Let me know what you think. Here we go. This man is the back-to-back champ. He's got it going on right now, ladies and gentlemen. What Taylor Watkins. What's up, buddy?
How are you?
Man, I drove home 12 hours from Wisconsin to get here at about 2 this morning. I'm not doing as good as you.
Yeah. Well, I drove about 2 hours this morning to get home to Tennessee, so I'm doing pretty good.
To your two trophies just all snuggled up in your backs. I saw your picture, you dog. I saw that.
Yeah.
I don't blame you. I'd mount them both on my damn hood, son.
So I'm going to the Classic next week, and I don't have room. Well, I mean, I guess I have room, but we rent our house out. So, like, me and my wife are, like, in the camper most of the time.
Yeah.
And then we stay in the house just a little bit. Well, I don't want some renter to be putting their grubby paws all over my trophy. So I sent it home to Alabama to my mom, and I'm like, you know, I'm going to have that back. We're going to go to the Classic. I need to take that. So it just worked out that I got doubled up in the back. You know, we're riding around with twins in the back seat now.
You should mount them on log chains like a rapper would and just walk around with them hanging around your shoulders. Like, not necessarily a necklace because that might get dangerous, but over your shoulder like you're like the Rock working out. That's what I would do. Yeah. Those things are heavy. They're heavy.
Yeah, so my sponsor, Bass Boat Electronics, Jason Castle, he was like, dude, we're going to, like, rig you up, like, some, like, pit bull chain yes. and take that shield and hang it around your neck. And, like, you just walk around the Classic with it just hanging around your neck.
Hey, and when this happens, listen, I got this new mixer. Hang on. Check this out. I'm a crappy radio DJ now. Whenever you walk in, this is all we're going to hear. Everywhere you go. The entire time. Ladies and gentlemen, back-to-back champ. Everywhere you go, it's going to be a party. I can't wait. I'm following you with this soundboard the entire week if you walk around like Pitbull.
I did have a better idea. The better idea was I was going to get me a radial flyer wagon, and I was just going to wagon the babies around.
Okay. You win. Yeah. You win. Or one of those like strollers they make for people with twins or just two kids and just push that thing around. I like it. I like it, man.
I'm
it's
shake
a good
everybody's hand and just tell them I'm Taylor Watkins.
Yes, I'm Taylor Watkins. I'm Taylor Watkins. I won the first ever one day shootout for $50,000, man. Insane, yeah. Man. Did you ever? So, I talked a lot before I called you just about the emotions of the week for me, and I'm not competing. I'm obviously an employee. I've just run my mouth, man. I'm proud to be a part of everything with the league. I've gotten to know so many of you guys. I know the work you put in, and I know the unknown part of it for you guys, right? Last year coming in as first-year anglers, you don't know what's going to happen. And then we had a hiccup there at the end of the year, but you all showed back up, man. The guys – it's funny to me. The guys that made the championship and the championship gets canceled are all the first ones to sign up, and we lost some guys that never got close to the championship that were mad about it. You know what I mean? Yeah. It's interesting to me. But I see, you know, you guys are, until last year, really are a lot of unknowns in the fishing industry. You haven't had that spotlight on you. Now, dude, you're a freaking two-time champ. You've won $100,000 in the last two tournaments. You got more hardware than freaking Lowe's. And it's nuts, man. But I was talking about the emotion of the week, just the up and down. We wanted to get the year started off with a bang, right? And I was devastated that they canceled days one and two. Like I was pissed. And, you know, and Brad and I talked about it because I look at everything from an angler standpoint first, I guess, and just being that's what I've been my whole life. And the more I thought about it, I was like, this is a really freaking good idea. Like, this is actually really cool. And even though, hey, man, you didn't get multiple days to fight for your money, take the win out of the equation. What was your initial thought? Were you like, dang it, man? Well, I mean, what did you think when you first hear of the one-day thing?
I was hoping for a two-day. You know, like, they made 100% made the right call on the first day, you know, to cancel the first day. 100%.
Yes.
I was a little disappointed with the second day. Okay. You know, just from an angler standpoint.
I get it.
Especially my style of fishing. And me and John Sokup was out floating around waiting to load up the first morning, and we were laughing and cutting up. And I said, dude, I got to have 3 days because it takes me 3 days to figure them out. I said, I don't drop those John Sokup bags on them. And he said, and I started laughing, you know, and he started laughing. He said, yeah, I don't either. I just do it all 3 days. And I was like, yeah, that's classic John. But
no doubt about it. But he is consistent, right? And what separates men from the boys a lot of times are those down the stretch on that third day kind of thing, you know? Like you at Grand, you got stronger as it went on.
And throughout the year last year, I think somebody on Instagram is doing some kind of...
Yes, there's stats. You know, great.
Stats, yes. Yeah. And so my stats, I was the only angler last year to... grow or move up places.
Yes,
on the third day every tournament.
It's awesome.
So you know, that is my strong suit, and I really feel like that helps me. You know, in this kind of format, is those 3 days or at least 2 day tournaments. So I've never been really the guy to go out there and just crack a big bag. You know, like it. I've always just been consistent, you know, and that's how I've always fished. And I do what I like to do. I'm comfortable, you know, more like that Andy Morgan, Wesley Strader kind of style, you know. Like, I just try to stay consistent, you know. Mm-hmm. 12 to 15 pounds a day gets you paid. That's all right. I, you know, want. And so whenever we got the second day canceled, you know, I'm like, you know, I'm debating on, do I go down the river and fish down the river, or do I stay up here, you know, or go by down to the dam and fish clear water, or do I stay up here in the river? Well, I've fished a lot of, like, Saturday jackpot tournaments, mm-hmm, on Cherokee and Norris and Douglas. And, dude, whenever it rains, like, we get these rains like this, it gets one in the river every time.
Yep.
Like, somebody catches a big bag of largemouth, you know. And there may be some guys that peter out through the top 10 with, you know, smallmouth and stuff like that.
Yep.
But the big bag is always largemouth when these perfect conditions happen. And so I just made up my mind, you know, I had come up and practiced in the river and got in a couple bites. And, you know, so I was like, I made up my mind I was going to stay in that river, you know, and stay in that area and just try and get a couple of bites. Like, all I was hoping for was like two pounders. Or, you know, something like that, just to try and squeak out a check or whatever, you know.
And then.
Yeah.
Just hoping to squeak out a check. And then I broke everybody's necks with what I brought in.
Yeah.
So unreal, man.
It just kind of, like, so the first bite that I got that morning, I broke it off. And I know it was a big one. And I think I had a bad knot. I think I tied a bad knot. You know, we had 2 days to prepare, and I tied a bad knot on my spinnerbait. You know,
well, you probably retied 9 times, because that's what I do whenever things like that happen. I just mess with my tackle too much.
So, yeah. So, I mean, you want to get into all this right now?
Yeah, like, of course, dude. Okay. Yeah, I want to know all of it, all right, because we had a hard time. We didn't know the story yesterday, right? Like, we were limited to who we could cover and what we could do, and you, my friend, on the Way Live app said you had 11 pounds. We'll get to that later, too. So we didn't know you had this massive bag. But, yeah, I want to walk through, like, did it happen fast? How did it go down?
So the area that I wanted to start in, you know, the way that this tournament was laid out, if not everybody already knows, they allowed us to put in at 3 different ramps on the lake.
Yes.
You could put in at Burnside. You could put in at the mid-lake Conley Bottoms, mm-hmm, and then down at the dam. So, I chose to put in at Burnside because that was the closest place to where, you know, that particular creek that I wanted to start in. And then, you know, I also wanted to maximize fishing time. So it's like an hour and 10 minute drive from the dam,
mm-hmm,
back up to Burnside. Well, by the time you load your boat, you know, strap everything down and all that, you're an hour and a half. Like, you need, and then plus you're always going to want to make it safe. So just go ahead and make it an hour and 45 minutes.
Yep.
That's a lot of time, especially on a tough fishery, you know, like wherever you're looking for one bite or two bites. And so I made up my mind to put in at Burnside, and I went into the particular creek. I was in flight 4, so I did not get to take off until 8:40 in the morning. So I got into that area, and there was about 5 or 6 other competitors kind of just fishing up and down the stretches that I kind of wanted to be on. And I just kind of picked a spot and stopped in there. And I just didn't feel comfortable, you know. I was like, man, it's just too much pressure. Like, there's not enough bites to be had already, much less all of this pressure, you know. So I kind of just made my way on further back into the creek. I just kind of picked my trolling motor up, went a little further back. And there was a run-in on the left, mm-hmm, going up through there. Well, I was like, I'm going to check this run-in right here real quick. Well, I pulled up, put the trolling motor down, I dropped the trolling motor, and the temperature went up to 54 degrees.
Oh, you found it.
And I was like,
the unicorn.
Oh, my. Mm-hmm. You know, like, they are around here somewhere. Mm-hmm. You know, like, they are somewhere close, I know. So I just let the trolling motor down. I just started fishing. And I come to what wound up being the area that I caught all the big ones. I broke that one off. I tied another spinnerbait back on, and I made about 6 or 8 more casts, got up against the bluff, made a cast down the bluff. And I mean, I think I turned the handle one time and I caught a 3-pounder.
Hmm.
And so, like, then I'm like, I am the greatest fisherman in the world.
Here we go. I didn't zero.
Like, this is great. You know, like, all pressure is off. Like, you know, like, all right, let's go. So there was another run in just a little further up. I go to it and I pull up into it and I start fishing down there and the water is getting perfect. Like it's getting that green tint, cleaning up, getting that green tint to it. And I catch one, you know, and I catch another one, and I catch another one. But they're like 2-pounders, you know, like they're 16 inches, 17 inches, you know, and 2-2.25 pounds, which I'm happy, dude. I'm stoked.
Those are like gold. Like, yeah, there's so many guys that would have loved to have them. Yeah.
Yes. And so I get to the back of that little run in, and I caught a couple shorts and stuff, and I actually swapped up spinnerbaits. I started throwing a 1/2-ounce War Eagle, double silver.
Because you were throwing a covert a little bit, right?
Well, that's what I ended up catching the big ones on. Okay, but as the water got clear in this back of this creek, I swapped.
Okay.
You know, but as the water cleaned up, the further I went back. And I had four. So there was like one other guy kind of fishing around me in that same little area. So I was like, you know what?
Did anybody else catch any in there with you? In the field?
Yeah, so 7 out of the top 10 were all in that same creek.
No kidding. Okay. Yeah. Didn't know that. Mr. Commentator host guy. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Okay.
So
interesting.
I decided to push further back. You know, I was like, I'm going to go to this thing ends, you know, like as far as I can go. And so I went all the way to the back, got all the way to the back. And man, I rounded the bend. When I rounded the bend, it looked like I was on the Coosa River. Like it was just flowing current. And I love current. Like I have grown up on current. I grew up fishing the Locust Fork River. I grew up fishing the Warrior River, you know. And I picked up that spinnerbait and I went to work on them.
And I love that.
I mean, like it was like, but I was only, so I caught my 5th one and then I culled and then I culled and then I culled, but I was culling for ounces.
Yeah.
You know, like they were just all 2.5-pounders. And I think I caught 1 3-pounder. You know, so I'm sitting on like 2 3-pounders, 2 2.75, and then a bunch of 2-pounders.
Like
so I had
13,
like 12 pounds.
Yeah,
12, 13 pounds. And which is pretty sure what I had on the score tracker. Pretty close.
You were right there. Know? Yes, you were. Yeah, you were right there. When we went off air, you were in our unofficial top 5 with like 12 pounds, I think.
Okay, so this is like 11:30-ish, 11:45-ish. It might have been 12. It was probably 12. Yeah, it was probably 12. And so I kind of exhausted that area a little bit. Like, I caught them pretty good. Like, I caught a bunch of fish, you know. I would catch one that didn't help, you know. And I would kind of slide off. Like, I had the trolling motor on 100 trying to just sit, you know. And, I mean, the current is boiling through there. And so I kind of slid down to, you know, another little current break that had rested for about 10 minutes. I catch another one. I'm like, they're reloading, you know.
Wow.
So I said, I'm going to just ease out of here and let it, you know, fill back up, let them reload, let them reposition, get the pressure out a little bit. And I'm just going to ease back down here and hit a little bit of this other stuff that I fished earlier this morning. Well, I fished the little run in where I had finished, where I had caught 4, you know, I had caught 2 or 3 that morning. And I was like, you know, I'm going to go there where I caught that 3-pounder and where I broke that one off and just check it one more time before I go back up in the river part. So I get over and I make the exact same cast. I caught the 3-pounder and a 5.78 tip. And I'm like, oh boy. So this is like 1 o'clock, you know.
Ugh.
And from 1 o'clock till about 3, it was just on like Donkey Kong, dude. I mean, there was a huge waterfall there and the water was falling off into the lake. And then it was a bluff and the bluff had a ledge. And I could see it on my active target. The active target showed me that in about 8 foot of water, 7 or 8 foot of water, it made a small shelf. And then the shelf dropped off into about 25. Well, those fish were pulling up onto that shelf right there beside the waterfall and feeding. I mean, it was like one would just take its place. Like I'd catch one and another one take its place.
Man,
you know,
that's so fun.
And so I would just fish down the bank about, you know, 20 or 30 yards, give it about 10 minutes or so, 15 minutes, and I'd come back and I'd catch another one. And I'd go about 10 or 15, 20 yards, come back and I'd catch another one. And, you know, and they didn't all help me, you know, but like every other time or so, like it'd be like a 4-pounder, you know, or 4.5 or, you know. And finally at 3:30, I think I culled my last time or I caught one and I had one cull. So all my fish started with cull tags on them. And then whenever I got, Like, I wasn't putting cold tags on 5-pounders. Of course, you know, like,
yeah,
I'm like,
especially
yeah, Cumberland.
You're like,
one.
Yeah, we're not culling this bad boy.
Yeah. So I get down and I've got one fish with one cold tag on it. And I'm like, okay, so this is my cull. And I pull it out and that jerker's like 3.5, 3¾ pounds. And I'm like, yeah, we're going to the house.
So, I mean, you got to know, right, with the conditions and all that. You're like, you got to think that you blew it out, right?
Well,
blew it out, but like pretty much had it.
I made up my mind. There's too many obstacles out here. There's floating debris, floating brush. There's mechanical issues. What happened to Brandon Perkins last year? You know,
it's crazy.
And so I just made up my mind. Look, I got an hour. I'm just going to take it easy and take it slow. And thank goodness I did, because I come out on that river and I couldn't see nothing but brush all the way across the river. And, you know, and of course there was a lane, but like, you know, I was like 20 or 30 mile an hour, just easing, going, please, mm-hmm. Lord, don't hit anything. Please don't hit anything, you know. And I just eased my way back up to the boat ramp and, you know, brought it on in. I figured if somebody beats me today, they deserve it.
Yeah,
you know?
No doubt about it.
If I take second with 20, over 20 pounds on Lake Cumberland, it was meant to be for them, you know? Yeah. So it is what it is.
I've been there many times, man, and that is a special, special, special stringer fish that a lot of locals up there will never forget, I'll assure you, because I fished two FLWs there when it was good. I mean, and I'm talking about like, you know, April. Fish are pulling up, you get a ton of bites, and I don't think we saw a 20-pound bag at all in two years in a row there. Now it's primarily dominated with smallmouth. We saw like a 7-pound largemouth weighed in. I think Casey Scanlon caught one. They certainly live there. And you know, and Watson said that on the preview show we did on Friday afternoon. He said, man, I think it'll take 18 to 20. He said these run-ins, you know, he fishes a lot of Highland Reservoir like Table Rock and just, you know, like us, we fish Smith and it is magical to see what those run-ins can do if you find the right one. If you find the one that's got the warm water. And what's crazy is on camera, you know, we had one with Brad Knight there and Brad, that was his approach. He scrapped everything he was doing in practice and he was on the lower end of the lake though and he ran run-ins all day long, and the warmest one he found was 43. And most of the ones that he went to, the water was gone. It had stopped running in. And he kept saying, he said, on camera, he said, somebody is going to win this tournament. They're going to pull up in one of these, and the big largemouth, they're going to have their nose in it because it's going to be a little bit warmer. And he's like, the guy that does that is going to blow this out. And he said it several times. Yeah, and you did. You did, man. And that's so cool, dude. And, so a War Eagle spinnerbait and the Covert spinnerbait.
Covert 3/4 ounce. Old big one, dude. And it was fun. It was like, it took me back to my days of like, you know, nighttime fishing.
Yeah. Thumper
Coosa
Blade.
River, Gunnersville, Thumper Blade, you know. We used to do that whenever I was a kid all the time. It's been a while since I've done that, you know. And you just throw that thing up there and just wind it as slow as you can. And I mean, they'd have it choked. They'd have it way deep down in there.
We throwing like chartreuse and white, blue.
Chartreuse and white with a gold colorado blade and then a red kicker.
Red kicker. Okay. So, that is a really, really good spinnerbait, man. I'm a spinnerbait fiend, and that is for years we kind of chased the dragon, so to speak, with a good light wire spinner bait with a lot of good thump and a production model. I've got some guys around the Tennessee River that make some really good homemade spinner baits and things. But Jason, that's a really good one. The Stan Sloan. He nailed that one. Strader's Bango Blade's another one. That's a really good spinner bait, light wire.
I was impressed at how strong it was. Like, you know, for it to be a light wire.
Yes.
I mean, it really held up, you know, as far as catching those big, but you know, they were cold and they weren't just like dogging and thrashing around, you know, and just wearing your spinnerbait out. You know, it was kind of wherever you hit them. I mean, they were dogging, but they weren't just, you know, summertime mangle your stuff.
Right. They had just gotten
but,
up there and were kind of feeling it out a little bit.
Yeah. They were still cold, but it was good. I was impressed with that spinnerbait for sure. That's the first time that I've like really spent a whole lot of time with it in my hand, you know, throwing it. It, you know, I mean, it's very conditional, you know, and we don't see those conditions a ton, you know. I mean, you know, fishing these Highland reservoirs around here, you know, most of the time we're fishing on the lower end of the lake and the clear water, yes. you know, and all that. But I have seen it so many times when we're fishing those, you know, those wildcats like that. Somebody up in that river finds some clean water, clean mm-hmm. warm water, and catches largemouth.
You go past the mud, You just got to know. I've seen that at Smith, man. You just got to know that it's coming at some point. And it might not happen that day you're there, but tomorrow it could be coming, or another 100 yards, it could be coming. You know what I mean? You just got to push for it and find that little cleaner water, warmer water. I like that you were throwing a 3/4. That's something that I feel like a lot of people on a spinnerbait, they make a mistake with, in that they tend to go to that 3/8 or half more than anything. And it rolls, and you can't keep it down. And a lot of people think, well, man, I'm fishing 5 to 8 feet deep or something. I don't need a 3/4, but you do, especially with that, you know, that Colorado or an Indiana blade. It just keeps it down, man. And Cumberland's a lot of 45s, right? Like you mentioned, 45 degree banks. You got those ledges, and it's really, really key up there. Yeah.
I did experiment with a, you know, with a half during practice. Mm-hmm. And I noticed that, you know, like I just could not keep it down, you know, and no matter how slow I tried to wind that thing, I couldn't keep it down there bumping those rocks. And so that 3/4 was, you know, 3/4, 20-pound line, 7/3, medium heavy. And that, like, that's my favorite. I think I caught every fish that I weighed in on the exact same rod and reel that I caught every fish that I weighed in at Grand Lake.
That's so cool. You know what I noticed first though yesterday in the picture, the gallery, I was driving home and checking out all of Tanner and Travis's picks of the winter, and I saw that fish hook. And if y'all are just listening to this, go back and listen to the episode with Taylor after he won Grand. I think the title is "The Internet Needs to Calm Down and Go Fishing." There's a lot of other things that happened around that event as well. that were a good time for everybody. But Taylor tells this cool story. He gets this lucky fish hook hat clip from a guy that owns a tackle store at Grand, and the guy basically just is a prophet and says, "Hey man, you're going to win this tournament. Here you go." And it really cool story. And then of course he wins the next one. So I'd say that hat pin's not going to come off for a while.
No, I plan on keeping that one for a minute. I was wearing this hat during practice one day and I was like, oh man, what if this thing flies off my head? I'm going to be like, this is not going to be good. I'm going to put this one up. This one only needs to come out for special occasions.
That's funny, man. I get like that about baits, you know, that have a special significance sometimes to me from certain, you know, whatever, whether it's tournaments or just life event. And you're like, man, I don't know. Like, I like this one, but I think I should put it over here just because those memories are, you know, they're special. They're really special. So going to be at the Bassmaster Classic. You're going to be hanging out down there. The Bass Boat Technologies booth, that where folks can come by and harass you about being back-to-back NPFL champ.
Yeah, Bass Boat Electronics, they're not going to have a booth this year. They will next year in Knoxville, though.
Heck yeah, Knoxville's going to be a party.
Yes, it is. It's going to be fun. But we got this one to look forward to right now.
No doubt about it.
I will be – Gear Deck Marine is having a booth. Okay. They're going to have a booth set up, and I'll be hanging around there a little bit. And then, like I said, I'm just going to go around and shake as many hands as I can and say, hey, I'm Taylor Watkins. Nice to meet you. You know, so.
Yeah, absolutely.
If anybody wants to come up and say hi and, you know, we'll talk about it and talk about how it all went down this week about Grand Lake, or, you know, we can't talk a whole lot about, you know, Watts Bar, but
you're not going to give up the goods there. Are you, would you consider yourself, I know you live there in that area, but I mean, are you proficient on that lake? Are you looking forward to that one, our third event there?
Yeah, definitely. So I'm about 40 minutes from there, 30 minutes. And if I have to pick anywhere, like if I wake up in the morning, I'm going fishing, like it's going to be Watts Bar.
Okay.
And, you know, but There is a lot of really good anglers that are fishing NPFL that are really close right here.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, like, I got my work cut out.
That one's going to be – Hartwell's going to be interesting because, I mean, our field, we've just got so many great anglers, but we do have some really, really, really good locals. And then Watts Bar is going to be the same. And, man, all of them, honestly, other than Saginaw, we don't have a lot of – to my knowledge, a lot of Saginaw Bay – locals, I think, you know, some of those Michigan Buck. Boys. Yeah, I was going to say Buck. Buck may know it a little bit from being up that way, I think. But he's probably got more experience than anybody. I would say Ross Rhodes, maybe, a couple of those guys. But you know, we got a big Ohio contingency, so that Sandusky tournament could be interesting. But the Watts Bar and the Hartwell ones, man, it's going to be interesting to see how they shake out because there's a lot of guys licking their chops for both of those, I feel like.
Yeah, I'm going into those the same way that I went into this one. Let's cut a check and, you know, keep it rolling. And, you know, I kind of told myself on the way home, you know, I told a couple of people, I was like, you know, oh man, the pressure's off, you know, and then I hang up the phone, I think about it, I'm like, dude, you're leading angler of the year.
I was going to say, no, the pressure off. Just started, buddy. You got that $20,000 and a golden Progressive Angler of the Year shield to worry about now. Don't let off the gas. So,
yeah, I mean, the Northern Swing kind of scares me a little bit. I mean, I'm not going to say it scares me, but I hadn't fished up north. Like, I don't travel much above the Mason-Dixon line.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so I don't know. We'll cross that bridge when we get there. Whenever I get there, you know, and I can determine, you know, hey, am I going to go out there and, you know, risk it with some smallmouth and try, you know, because it's not my strong suit, you know, and I can catch them, you know, I know I can catch them, but I'm not as, you know, proficient with it as some of these other guys, you know, Buck and Ross Rhodes. And, you know, so do I go out there and go after them or do I play it a little safe and go catch 15, 16, 17 pounds of, you know, largemouth and just try and squeak out a check, you know. I don't know. We'll just have to see how good the smallmouth fishing is.
How the conditions play out for the event.
That's right, too.
Is there an event you're looking forward to more than Watts Bar? I mean, are that Saginaw Bay one, man, I've got a star by on our schedule. I'm looking forward to seeing that one play out.
I need to. I would have to say that I'm scared, I'm worried, but I'm also very excited about going out there just because I like cracking bass in the face.
So, and they got them there. Like,
yeah.
Man, they got them
and
there.
I've heard there's like really dumb ones there too.
Yeah.
So like, you know.
Which are my favorite kind always. Stuff. Always. I need the dumbest ones I can find. We're good to go. That's who I need right there.
Yeah. You just look at cricket within 10 feet of them. They swim over there and eat it. Like, that's
those are the ones I need. Those when you throw your spook like 10 miles away from anything you should have and one just V's over there and smokes it. Those are the ones I need. You're like, man, I'm a great angler. Yeah, those are the ones I need. Right there. Well, Taylor, dude, I really appreciate you taking the time out. I know we were kind of all over the place about trying to get you booked up to get you on here. I didn't know what time I was going to be home last night, late or early this morning, however you want to look at it. And I've been pretty lazy today. And then, you know, just like I said, I got this this new equipment, man. I mean, come on. Yeah, I got this. I mean, why would we have done the podcast on the old equipment when we could have all – we can have this going on.
Yeah.
What? I mean,
hey, the bar and grill just got
listen,
lit up, bud.
This is, it might as well be a dance club now. Like, I will be up here mixing. Listen, I'm going to be mixing beats. There's no telling what's going to happen.
Disco ball. Yeah, there's like some lights.
Strobe lights are happening. I don't know. I'm going to check with the Triple Threat and check and see if maybe some dancing girls are an option. I don't know. We're going to see really, really taking the bar and grill to the next level. But, dude, I'm super proud for you, man. It's very cool to know that we are, you know, one event in year two and one of our guys, you know, has claimed his second trophy. We've got two-time champs. That's so cool for me on a statistical level. That's just awesome to see. And you're a good dude. It's well-deserved, man. You're a hard worker, and I'm very proud for you, and I appreciate you coming on.
Yes, sir. Thank you. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Taylor. Yep, make sure you're following Taylor Watkins on all social media. Good dude right there. Thank you, Taylor.
Thank you, man. See you.
All right, there he is, Taylor Watkins, stop number one champ, National Professional Fishing League. Something I forgot to mention before that interview started. Huge congrats, man. The week's so crazy, and I was working. Huge congrats to Alton Jones Jr. Holy crap. He's one of my favorite folks in the fishing industry. Good dude. Known him since he was this tall, I feel like. And just very cool to see him win that Bass Pro Tour down there. Of course, Jacob Wheeler made another top 10. Imagine that. The man has gills. Zach Burge made him a top 10 down there. But just really cool to see little AJ Jr. pull that off down there. And then I think Bradley Hallman and I recorded last week's show a little early, and I want to say a huge congrats to my old buddy, Buddy Gross. Yet another offshore grass victory. Imagine that. The guy is scary dialed at that kind of offshore fishing. When he won that, one of my favorite podcasts I've ever done, when he won Eufaula in 2020, some of the things that came out of his mouth on that show were just like, what? The man is dialed up. So congratulations to Buddy. Good luck to everybody in the Classic. If you are a low lifer and you are coming to Greenville, South Carolina, 1 p.m. on Saturday, Express Boats booth. We're doing this live. Several guests. I think Bill Lowen's going to be joining me there. Who knows who all. We're going to have several folks to talk to. I think John Hookup Soakup may be there as well. Come out. Come say hi. And pay attention to social media, Facebook and Instagram. I'm going to maybe post up where we're going to be Saturday night. We might do a pop-up podcast. I don't know yet. I'm still kicking some stuff around. There definitely won't be like the big over-the-top live this year. But one thing is for sure, Knoxville, Tennessee next year, we'll make up for lost time. Trust me. Already planning that right now. Thanks to each and every one of you for tuning in every week, for listening. It is much appreciated, and I can't thank y'all enough for that. Be sure to hug your mama. We'll take y'all out with some Biloxi Blues right now, and I will see y'all next time.
It last. Spanish moss and Civil War ghosts. Well, I'm going to leave them in the past.
Any also, go Vols. Auburn sucks.
It don't matter east or west. North, south, wherever the wind blows, I'm leaving those burdens at rest. This highway, it does not know my name, and I don't care, no, I don't care. Heading my way for another place, and I got three good tires and a spare. Just a white line gypsy getting out of Mississippi with just enough gas to get there.